From the WGXE Newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Monday, October 20th, 2014. Here are some of the stories that made the news from Friday, October 17th through Monday, October 20th. Claire Hughes reported in the Times Union, attorney Lisa Fisher is back on the ballot on the Conservative Party line as a candidate for state Supreme Court justice. A three-judge panel on the Appellate Division, 3rd Department, on Friday, October 17th, reversed a ruling that struck down Fisher's nomination by the Conservative Party nominating convention last month. Fisher's name will also appear on the Republican line. The issue was brought before the court by Albany County Conservative Party Chairman Richard Stack, who challenged the validity of his own party's convention. Stack sued after delegates nominated Fisher over his preferred candidate, Albany Democrat Justin Corcoran. The reversal may require some county boards of election to reprint absentee ballots with Fisher's name on the Conservative Party line. Ariel Zangler reported in the Daily Freeman, Greene County legislator Linda Overbaugh has been named to chair a panel looking for a replacement for Greene County attorney Carol Stevens. A Windham resident, Stevens retires November 30th. She has served as Greene County attorney for more than 12 years and was the first woman to hold the position. County Administrator Sean Groden said the search committee will meet October 29th. Arthur Cassano reported in the Register-Star, Columbia County received a high offer of $502,000 for former Oggawomic School located on Route 217 in Claverick. The parcel was placed up for auction, which ended Thursday, October 16th. County Board of Supervisors Chairman Patrick Grattan said he did not know the identity of the top bidder. He said there was no contingency option for the sale, meaning the buyer must take the building as is. If the full board accepts the bid at a meeting Tuesday, October 21st, it will then be passed on to the Finance Committee. If the offer is authorized by the Finance Committee, the final sale could occur as early as next month. The county purchased the $78,000 square foot building and 24 acres of land for $1.5 million in 2008. Audrey Maddett reported in the Daily Mail, one of four benches built and placed at the Ramshorn Livingston Wildlife Sanctuary in Catskill was stolen last week. The bench had been in place for less than a month. The bench was created by a local Eagle Scout as part of a community service project. The bench was cemented into the ground by angle irons, and it is possible it was removed with the concrete balls and angle irons still attached. The 460-acre Ramshorn Wildlife Sanctuary is co-owned and operated by Audubon New York and Scenic Hudson. Anyone with information about the theft are asked to call the Catskill Police Department at 518-943-2244. And Public News Service is reporting television viewers may find public TV stations disappearing in a $45 billion gold rush by wireless providers bidding in a government auction on the broadcasting spectrum. Mark Shearer has a story.
As the song goes, video killed the radio star. Will wireless kill some free public TV? That's the latest media question. The FCC is holding an auction in which wireless companies such as Verizon and AT&T will bid on parts of the nation's airwaves currently being used by television stations. It's called a spectrum auction. Todd O'Boyle of Common Cause says there are billions at stake.
On the one hand, the broadcasters are looking at a big payday, potentially. And on the other hand, the cellular folks are looking at making lots of money building next generation networks.
But some observers are concerned that given the incentive to sell spectrum, the owners of some public television stations that serve diverse communities in many cities will give in. Minority voices would be muffled, and the TV industry, virtually bereft of any minority ownership to begin with, would be further mainstreamed. Ravi Kapoor helps run a low-power TV station in the Bay Area that could find itself with no spectrum bandwidth to broadcast on. And, he says, so could stations that serve African-American, Hispanic, Vietnamese, Chinese, and Filipino communities.
There's Korean-owned stations in Chicago and New York, Indian-owned stations in Houston, and, of course, my station, KAXT, which at one point was considered the most diverse TV station in the country.
According to one estimate, the auction could generate $45 billion, and another forecast says nearly 3,500 low-power television stations could be affected by the spectrum changes. Public broadcasting advocate John Schwartz, director and founder of the Vocal Companies, says the government doesn't seem sympathetic to pleas on behalf of public TV.
The FCC is strongly influenced, not only by the lobbying power of the big carriers, because obviously that's massive, but also out of the concern that the most important and most valuable use of spectrum now is for wireless broadband and not for broadcasting.
The government also intends to use some of the money raised to build a next-generation public safety communications system. Schwartz questions, though, whether the FCC will apply any balancing tests.
And is this going to be done without regard for things like public television, service to minorities, and other considerations of that type? And I think the answer now is not looking good to me.
The auction is set to start on the 13th of next month. For Public News Service, I'm Mark Shearer.
For the local weather forecast, today will be partly sunny with a high near 57. Tonight, a chance of rain mainly after midnight, cloudy with a low around 43. The chance of precipitation is 40%. Tuesday, rain likely mainly afternoon, cloudy with a high near 62. Tuesday night, rain likely, cloudy with a low around 47. Wednesday, rain likely, cloudy with a high near 57. Wednesday night, rain likely, cloudy with a low around 45. And Thursday, rain likely, cloudy with a high near 56. Thursday night, a chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 47. Sunrise today was at 7:14 a.m. and sunset today at 6:05 p.m. with the length of the day being 10 hours and 50 minutes. For the local public meetings, today is the third Monday of the month, and WGXE suggests calling ahead to confirm the time and location. The Athens Town Meeting is at 6:45 p.m. at Community Center, 2 First Street in Athens, 945-1052. Austerlitz Comprehensive Plan Meeting at 7 p.m. at 812 Route 203 in Austerlitz, 392-3260. The Canaan Planning Board Meeting is at 7 p.m. at Town Hall, 1647 Route 5 South, Canaan, 781-3144. The Germantown Town Board Meeting is at 7 p.m. at Town Hall, 50 Palatine Park Road in Germantown, 537-6687. The Greene County Legislature meetings of Government Ops and Finance Committees, plus party caucuses, are at 6 p.m. at County Building, 411 Main Street in Catskill, 719-3270. The Greenville Town Board meetings at 7:30 p.m. at Town Offices, corner of Routes 32 and 81 in Greenville, 966-8276. The Hudson City Board of Education meeting is at 7 p.m. at John L. Edwards Primary School, 360 State Street in Hudson, 828-9493. The Taconic Zoning Commission meeting is at 6:30 p.m. at Town Hall, 909 Route 82 in Taconic, 851-7638. And the Harlem Valley Rail Trail meeting is at 7 p.m. at Ghent Fire Company No. 1, 2230 Route 66 in Ghent, 789-9591. The landscape design firm Mark K. Morrison Associates will present preliminary plans for an 11-mile extension of the trail, known as the Northwest 11. Northwest 11 will follow most of the abandoned New York and Harlem rail bed from Philmont to the center of Chatham Village. This has been the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report from Monday, October 20th, 2014. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Katie Donnelly. Have a great day.